We'll dive into a deeper check of that forecast coming up. Right now, we welcome in State Senator Mike Groney joining us here in the studio. Good morning, Senator Groney, and welcome back to the good life.
Yes, we're back in the area for next, I don't know how long.
Unforeseeable future.
Because I can't do either one of my jobs, the one in Lincoln or the one I do for a living because of this.
That's crazy, that's for sure.
Social distancing, but so I guess I'll get some projects done around the place.
Does Mrs. Groney have a list that you're going to be completing?
Yes, I'm going to be loading pine needles this afternoon in the rain probably, but from the
backyard.
Sounds
like a fun afternoon.
Yes. Yes, I'll be outdoors. I read the paper the other day. It's good to be outdoors. It is.
Absolutely.
Yep. The closer we get to 80 degrees outside, the better things will be for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, I had the special session, special meeting last week at the state capitol in Lincoln. Tell us how that went, Senator.
We did a good thing, but we wasted 3 days of legislature. I mean, we came in on Monday, and all we did was come in and vote on one bill, and then next day we came in and checked in and checked right back out. Because there has to be 1 day layover between select file and final reading that's in our rules or in our Constitution. So we had a wasted day on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we just came in and voted for the emergency package for the governor. So 3 days and probably an hour and a half worth of time.
What was the reason when they wrote the Constitution to put that extra layover day in there?
Public. It's accountability, accountability and transparency. And you don't trust government, do you? The people who, citizens who wrote that Constitution said, well, if they don't slam something past us, we want a day to look at it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, before they just boom, boom, boom. Otherwise, we could have went down there and voted on it in the morning by noon, voted on it the second time, and the third time we could have voted in the afternoon, and people wouldn't even know it hit them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have bad government, so folks who write constitutions over time usually do it because they know history, and there's a good reason to have a layover day.
Okay.
And besides that, the bill writers, the people who do the transcripts and the final version, the lawyers look it over and change, tweak the language to make sure it reads well, because the original bills are written by lay people mostly, not mostly, but written by. Let's just say everybody's work needs to be fact checked and double checked by another individual in any occupation. So. Another attorney needs to look at it and tweak the language of a bill before it comes final in our statutes.
Okay. So, and there was more funding than what the governor originally requested, if I understand right.
At first, I was against it because you don't just throw money at problems. We do that a lot. I mean, that federal, I could go on about the federal bailout. But the reason was I didn't want... Some on the left wanted more money so they could give rent assistance and child care assistance and a whole bunch of stuff that was, might as well elect Bernie Sanders if you want all this stuff. But I was against it. But the governor crafted the bill and the speaker crafted it very well that it went to his governor's emergency fund, which always existed. But we always usually put about $5 million in it a year, the floods and things like that, or some disaster happens, a bridge washes out somewhere, he's got extra money to do it. But he's got two of them in a row this year. I mean,
yeah,
he had the flooding
year
before, and this year we got this. So, but we didn't put it there, which it could be used for purposes that a lot of us wouldn't agree with, but we took it directly into his military account, which is the National Guard.
Okay.
So it's National Guard. The legislature put it there, not the governor. Normally the governor would put it there from his emergency funds, but we put it directly there. National Guard has a unit, of course, the medical unit. In disasters, they load up medical supplies and head out. It already exists, and the individuals are there. So we put it there, and they're the ones who will try to coordinate getting $38 million of the money was... First, let's start over. $58 million is what the governor asked for.
Okay.
That's all he asked for. Not all. $58 million he asked for, and 38 of that was for supplies, if we needed to. Mask and whatever.
Respirators, whatever else we might need.
Respirators and things like that, if they could find them. But how are you going to find them? And then emergency staffing, how do you find them, too? I mean, mm-hmm. we've had a shortage of nurses for 10 years, 20 years. How are you going to find nurses that don't exist? So it's, but it's, most of it was feel good as far as I was concerned. You can't find the stuff. So, and then the federal government's going to have first dibs on it and their programs. But it's there. And I wasn't real happy about putting $3.5 million for the University of Nebraska Medical Center. If most people don't realize that's a private institution, nonprofit, no different than our regional medical center out here. It's not part of the university. It has its own board. The regents have no control over it. But they claimed they were going to do the testing. And they had me convinced they were going to come up with this magic and do all this and be the center of Nebraska's testing for the virus. But you never doubt the free enterprise system in our local medical facilities. I think we were up to 1,000 on tests. We went from 100, 150 tests a day to 1,000 by Saturday or Friday. And guess what? Only 100 of those at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. It's CHI. It's the regional hospitals that have geared up and are doing the testing in the local public health center. So that money should have been spread out to all of those, not just one hospital, but they've got a lot of pull. And but otherwise, the other $25 million sitting there because I sat down with the speaker and, you know, some of us wanted an amendment on it that said if we don't use it, it goes right back to the cash reserves. So don't sit there and people start thinking it's been spent already. And next year start, if there's, well, let's all hope and pray their money's there, because that means
right.
This is more of a panic than an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
We all hope.
Yeah, hopefully there's a lot of funds left over.
You know, I don't. I'm listening and understanding we have a problem here, but I hope the skeptics are right. I mean, at the end of the day, only the more die than what die from the flu, and we overreacted. Let's hope we overreacted
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to sit there and say I was right. But at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure it went back to cash funds. But the way the bill is written, we make available $83 million to the governor. And then his budget office or his budget officer, when they need more, they request from the revenue department to transfer. So if he never asks for the transfer, he can ask for $5 million today, $3 million tomorrow. If he doesn't ask for the transfer by June 30th, it stays in the cash reserves. So basically what we gave him authorization to, we appropriate cash reserves until the governor requested.
Like a line of credit for business.
Yeah, instead of transferring it all, which was good. And the speaker came up with that, and it was a very good idea because we don't know if we can, let's say the federal government doesn't come through with their money to Nebraska, and this gets to the point we need, other matters solved. If it gets that bad, could the legislature ever convene again and get 33 senators down there? It takes 33 for emergency funding.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, every bill we pass is 90 days, goes into effect 90 days from the last day of the session, and you have to have 33 show up. But so it was a good way to do it. I thought it was very, after I read the fine print and discussed it with the governor's budget office, it was a well-written bill. It still got a touch of fiscal conservativeness in it, which the federal government doesn't. But like somebody wrote me, Bernie don't need to get elected. We got enough people in Washington, D.C. to do everything he wanted to do. I mean, $5,700 per man, woman, and child in America is what $2.2 trillion is.
Jeez.
Can you believe that? And you're going to get maybe $2,400. Where's the rest of it going? Lobby. The big boys are going to get it. That's just very frustrating that we decided to do that, but in Washington, but panic rules. But in Nebraska, that, as I said in my column, that was $83 million is 13% of our expected cash reserves. But that's what cash reserves are for.
Mm-hmm.
Is what happened last year and this year with the flood. And it's not there sitting there to spend like it's happened in the past. It's for emergencies and reversal of the economy, which might happen or is going to happen or is happening with the reaction to the virus.
So the 3 days that you were in session last week, Senator Groney, that has to be taken off the total days for this legislative session?
Okay. It's not a special session. So we have 17 days left.
Okay.
Which effectively is 15.
Okay.
Because you have to have, if we pass a bill on the 15th day, you have to have a day layover, and then the 17th day you would final reading. So you effectively have to have everything off general file, everything off select file. That's general and select by the 15th day. So then on the 17th, we have a day layover, and the 17th day we can vote on final reading. So in 15 days, lots going to, Ernie stood up, and arrogant as he is, stood up and said he gave us all a pass on the emergency funding, but he's going to fight everything when he comes back. So anybody.
How generous of him to not fight the emergency funding.
Oh my,
for the
what a man! What a man! Yeah. What a statesman!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, Senator Groney, where are we at with some of these other things? I know there's a lot that's up in the air, obviously, as we suspend the session, but where did we end temporarily with property tax relief?
Actually, this is good for property tax relief so that we can Senator Linehan and some of us can get the word out. This is good policy, what we're trying to do. Our biggest complainers are, not a single one of my administrators in this county has complained. They've tried to work with us on this, but the big ones... Grand Island, Norfolk, all the ones in Omaha, most of them in Omaha. The big ones are Millard, Grand Island, Pelion La Vista. The Cheryl Logan at Omaha is a pretty darn good administrator. She's a business manager. That's what she does. She's a public servant. You tell me what money I got, and I'll make it work. The old-fashioned style. And we had to bring her in from Philadelphia to get somebody with some kind of common sense in Nebraska, but... to run OPS, but they're fighting it. They want complete control. In fact, one of the administrators told us, sent a letter to me and Senator Linehan, that we should ask their permission before we do anything. That's the government employee. We've let some education establishment in this state get out of hand, out of control. And so I always thought when you're an employee, the boss came in and said, here's what you got, make it work. If you can't make it work, I'll find somebody else who can.
Yeah.
That's what happens in a free enterprise system. You've gone through it in the radio industry.
Yeah, my boss doesn't come to me and say, is it okay if we do this?
Yes.
Or is it okay if you do this?
If we give you a little less money to run your studio next year.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what you're up against. But those are the average person wants good official efficient run government. They want the schools run efficiently. They want disciplinary schools. That bill's still sitting there waiting to come back, and it will. The speaker told me he would bring that back for sure, and that's one that Ernie wants to fight. But anyway, the property tax is still there. Still be up. Then the incentive money will be next. LB 720, and then bills like my 147 will be right after it.
Okay.
I still have 34, 35 votes in support of it to overcome the... I'm fighting Senator Wayne Chambers on it, and Senator Walls out of Fremont. But those are the three people who don't like it. Hopefully Senator Walls don't come back next year. We got a good candidate against her. Public schools are everything to her. That's who she represents. She don't represent the public. And then she's a retired teacher, now sells insurance. And Ernie and Wayne, they just see racism everywhere and everything. I happen to believe that and children of color have been picked on, over time. But I happen to believe LB 147 will help them, because now we're going to have training where all the school employees look at behavior, not the individual. Too often they're looking at the individual and losing it, and then how to intervene without using physical force. That's the first thing to do, but I can't get that through their heads. So, but we have the 34 to 35 votes, so it'll go another 3 hours, and then we'll vote, and hopefully the 35 are there. That I need 33 for the filibuster. And then the microtiff. Todd Van Kampen wrote a very good story in Sunday's paper, which I'm going to forward to the senators down there in Lincoln, about the older houses in North Platte and the ones that are need a repair,
right,
or
a little outdated,
and how many are under $30,000 in value. Those are my target houses.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're under $30,000, you know what kind of shape they're in. But it's about the best way we can do it to that I could ever come up with, use TIF properly and actually revitalize a older part of town and downtown here. I'm hoping, you know, somebody latches on till we get it passed and does the Pawnee, because historical buildings are $10 million. But what it takes the middleman out, it takes the lawyer out over there at Gothenburg that wants $10,000 to $20,000 to do the paperwork. It takes the consultant out who does the plan for you and fills in the numbers and makes them up so you got a plan to hand in. It's the taxpayer going to the city and saying, I'm going to fix this up, and I get the increment for the next 10 years. And it's bulletproof, because if you don't fix it up, the assessor doesn't raise your valuation and you don't pay any more taxes. So how?
Right.
There's no scamming the game like there is now. You can scam the game now. You can get a bond for $1 million or $2 million and only spend and you buy your own bond back, and then you don't spend the money for what you said it was, but nobody double checks you, but you get that $1 million paid back through the increment. In this case, you absolutely have to do the what you said you were going to do to get the increment. The other way, you could spend it on something else and get your valuation up, but not what you said you were going to, like city infrastructure. But the other thing about doing micro TIF and the way it should be, it would actually lower your property taxes for the city, because if you fix an old residence up or an old building up, you already have the street there, you already have the curbs, you already have the sewer, the utilities. So the city has no extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
But when you build new houses out by the golf course, the city has to put streets in, has to put sewer mains, has to put water lines
right.
in. So they're not collecting the taxes on it because it got TIF, but somebody else has to pay for that street, and that's you and me. So, but if you fix up a building on an existing street, that's all done. So, but that I'm pushing that. We've been working hard with Senator Wayne. Now, on this side, we're friends. We are friends, Senator Wayne and I, and we just butt heads. But on this case, we're on the same side, and he's the chairman of the Urban Affairs Committee, and we got sick to bring it out of committee. We just needed to refine the amendment on to make sure it fit the Constitution, because tax increment financing is a section of the Constitution, and we need to define what the debt's going to be as a promissory note. The city doesn't have to advance any money. It's you fix it. My share is so much. The city's share is so much fixing it up. And the way I'm going to pay my shares, I'm going to give you a promissory note. And for the next year, 10 years, I pay you my share with the tax increment. That way money doesn't have to change hands. The city doesn't have to go into debt. It works. It'll work very well once we get it up and running. But I don't know what else to tell you, what other bills are coming. Those are the big ones. I'm still shaky on giving the UNMC again $300 million. They're a private 501c3 for a hospital because of some kind of the contagious disease with the federal government. Why don't we give Great Plains Regional Medical Center $300 million? I mean, when you do that, they're putting 1,200 beds in, 600 for the government, and 600 for, they wanted to build a new hospital anyway for them, and then they're going to get $300 million of philanthropy from the Buffett crowd down in Omaha. And I don't know why North Platte citizens are giving UNMC $300 million. We found out with this, it can't be regionalized. I mean, you have to have the supplies at every small clinic and every hospital spread across the United States. You can't be shipping everybody to Omaha and sticking them in a contagious unit. So it didn't work at Ashland. Ashland, they brought those first ones in. Remember how many millions of dollars we spent flying them in directly from China?
All right.
It didn't work. It didn't do anything. So... but highly contagious things like the cold virus, which this is, you're not going to get it done that you're going to start shipping people to a central location. You just got to make sure you've got, you're ready at every community hospital, every community clinic.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, so their claim that they're going to save us all is not ringing true to me, especially when they told me they were going to be the biggest, the center of the COVID-19 testing for the state. And Free Enterprise and the local hospitals reacted a lot faster than they did, upping their ability to test for it. So, but they didn't get $3.5 million. The regional medical center out here didn't get $300. CHI didn't get $3.5 million, but they were able to react, and their testing. So I'm a little frustrated with that, about that part of it. The rest of it, I trust the governor wholly that he'll use it efficiently and effectively. And
yeah,
you know, we're North Platte with 6 cases. You know, Lincoln has 4. So we have to social distance, and hopefully they
absolutely
haven't heard with those communal. Community spread the last 4?
The ones here we have.
Yeah, the last 3.
What we have is not considered community spread yet, so.
All right.
Hopefully so it stays that way.
But yes.
But, well, we do have to wrap up, Senator Groney. In the meantime, if folks do want to get a hold of you, although the session is not currently going on at the state capitol, you're still working. If folks want to email you or write you.
Some of my staff isn't happy with me, but they're working in the capitol. I told him until the guy that shows up for work at McDonald's and hands me a bag out the window can show up for work in Free Enterprise as a government employee, you can show up for work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're isolated there in the office. But anyway, but long story short, you can call my office, they will get to me, or you can call my cell number, 308-530-7741. I might not answer because, you know, we all do. We get a lot of 530 numbers that are scammed.
Telemarketers now. Yeah, unfortunately.
And usually when more than half, I call back and they say, no, I didn't call you.
Yeah.
But so anyway,
funny how
but
that
calling
works.
My office is better, and I wish I could tell you the number. I haven't memorized it. You can find it on the internet or send me an email. You can find that all on the internet.
Right.
Just type in Nebraska Legislature and look up senators.
Senator Groney, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll see you again next Monday.
Yep.
More coming up on KODY after a check of news.